Thank you very much, Warren, and thank you very much, Vanessa and Andy and everyone at AusPayNet for the invitation to join you today. So the bank released an issues paper about 10 days ago to begin the 2020 review of retail payments regulation. So today I'll give you a very brief overview of what's in the issues paper, what the process will look like, and I'll give you the opportunity to ask any questions or make any initial comments on the review. So our previous review was conducted in 2015-16. Going into that review, the Payment System Board had a few key areas of concern. One concern was the introduction of new higher interchange fees. The highest credit card interchange fee had then risen to 200 basis points, and there were high debit card rates also being introduced. And given the way that the hierarchy of the interchange fee was set, these high fees were falling disproportionately on smaller merchants. So among the changes that were made to the bank's standards at the end of the review, the bank imposed some caps on the highest interchange fees that could be imposed, 80 basis points for credit and 20 basis points or 15 cents for debit. As a result, there's been a significant narrowing in the range of fees, and small merchants are now much less disadvantaged. A second concern back then was the drift above the bank's interchange benchmarks that could result from the three-yearly compliance cycle. So the changes coming from the review introduced the introduction of quarterly compliance points, and that plus the narrowing of the interchange fee schedules has significantly reduced the amount of any drift above our benchmarks. Another concern in 2015-16 was the growth in the issuance of companion cards and the implications for competitive neutrality between three and four-party card schemes. And following the review, the bank designated the American Express companion card system, and it made any interchange-like fees subject to the 50 basis points benchmark. So the result has been a more level playing field, and incidentally also a further fall in the merchant service fees charged by the three-party card systems. Finally, we and many other stakeholders were concerned about excessive surcharging by a small number of merchants. So the review tightened the definition of the cost of acceptance and introduced new measures to improve transparency for merchants. Acquirers now have to provide merchants with data on monthly and annual costs of acceptance. In addition, the government gave the ACCC investigation and enforcement powers. So since then, there have been a few enforcement actions by the ACCC, and a few high-profile merchants, most notably the large airlines, have significantly lowered their surcharges. We don't feel that there are as many burning issues for review on this occasion. However, it is good practice to review regulatory frameworks periodically. Plus, there are a few issues relating to the cost of electronic payments that recent reports from the Black Economy Task Force and the Productivity Commission have suggested that we should review. While the review will focus on the bank's existing standards dealing with card payments, the Payment System Board considers it's important that the review is holistic and considers how card payments fit within the broader retail payment system. There's a lot happening in payments currently, and we're likely to see significant change over the next few years, possibly from developments such as stablecoins, expansion of closed-loop systems, other potential sources of disintermediation, and perhaps more hypothetically, even central bank digital currencies. And we're continuing to see a gradual decline in the use of cash in transactions and a sharp fall in the use of checks. Accordingly, it seems appropriate to give stakeholders the opportunity to comment on any broader trends in the payment system that may have relevance for the review or which should be addressed independently of the review. And one possibility is this could point to some gaps in the services that the payment system is providing to end users or some areas where collective industry investment might be desirable. If so, it might even point to the need for some form of follow-up to the 2010 to 12 strategic review of innovation, such as the bank setting a new set of strategic objectives for the industry. One of the broad landscape issues that we're interested in hearing about is the possibility of some coordination or consolidation in the three domestically focused payment schemes or systems, namely BPAY, FPOS and NPPA. Another broad landscape issue that the Governor mentioned this morning is the future of the cheque system. The issues paper then goes on to ask some fairly specific questions on a range of subjects. But as the Governor noted this morning, many of them relate in one way or other to the question of measures that we could consider to help bring down the cost of electronic payments. Accordingly, the issues paper devotes a fair bit of attention to least cost routing and dual network debit cards. As you'll know, least cost routing is intended to give merchants the opportunity to choose their default network for contactless transactions, debit transactions. We've asked for stakeholder views on the experience to date with least cost routing and whether the bank should take any additional steps to enhance competition and efficiency. Related to this, we're also asking a question of what options might be considered to enhance competition in the provision of acquiring services to merchants. More broadly, we're also asking for views on dual network debit cards and the implications of the ongoing shift that is occurring in card form factors away from plastic cards and towards tokenised credentials. The issues paper also refers to the Productivity Commission's recommendations and asks whether interchange fees should be lowered further. Here we note that the European Commission has introduced quite low caps, 20 basis points for debit and 30 basis points for credit. It would be good if there was already some hard evidence on the effect of these caps, but unfortunately the EC's study of this has been delayed. We've also asked a question as to whether it might be desirable for there to be greater transparency of scheme fees. This is an issue that John Chaplin talked about this morning. Scheme fee arrangements are complex and not particularly transparent, and information from some stakeholders suggests that scheme fees on acquirers have been growing over time and are representing an increasing proportion of merchant service fees. Finally, we've also asked for stakeholder views on how the surcharging framework for card payments is working and whether provisions dealing with no surcharge rules should be applied to other arrangements, including buy now, pay later schemes. So let me conclude on the process from here. The issues paper is the first stage of the review process. We've asked for submissions by 31st of January. Reserve Bank staff will then have meetings with stakeholders to discuss their responses. It's difficult to give a firm timeline after that, as the consultation is quite wide-ranging, and we're keeping an open mind as to the scope of any regulatory changes that might be required. However, I'd expect that Reserve Bank staff will take a paper to the Payment System Board's May meeting and that we'll then update stakeholders following that meeting. So I'd be happy now to take any questions on the issues paper or the review process.
I think you've made it quite clear to everyone, Tony. Any questions? No? Okay, well, given that we're a little bit behind schedule... Oh, no, we have one Sophie over here.
Tony, Sophie Ellsworth from Daily Telegraph. Just in regards to the surcharging, there's situations where customers are getting charged, in some cases up to 2%, to tap their cards. I did a story on this just a month ago. Does that say to you that there is still a strong need for cash? Because I know myself, if I'm going to pay 2% to pay with my debit card, that's going to make me annoyed when I can pay cash and avoid that charge.
The first thing to note is that the surcharging framework requires that there's always a method of payment that you can use that is not surcharged. So it's important that that merchant, if they are surcharging 2% for debit, that they make some other method of payment available to you that's not surcharged, and cash in this case. Another observation I'd make is that if indeed it is costing the merchant 2% to accept tap and go payments, then that might suggest that that merchant should be shopping around for a new payments provider, or alternatively that it's a very important question that we're asking: can we bring down the cost of electronic payments? But I suppose getting back to your question, we do know that a lot of there are many people in the community that still like to use cash, And so as long as there is a demand for cash from significant groups of the community, you can be sure that the Reserve Bank will continue to provide banknotes. I suppose the other point on surcharging is when and if a consumer faces a surcharge that they think is in excess of the cost of acceptance, they should contact the ACCC, but in the event they come to us, we'd be happy to hear the complaint and we'd pass it on to the ACCC if appropriate.
Hello, it's Julian Bykowski from IT News. Just two really quick ones. The first is on security and the review that's being done in terms of, or not the review, but the framework that's been put out in terms of card-not-present fraud. Has there been any progress on the thinking of the bank in terms of sheeting the cost of fraud back to institutions away from merchants? Because at the moment it largely vests with the merchants who pick up the tab for that. And it seems to be, I mean, it's going down, but it's not going down by that much. And there was also a consultation recently on the NPP that came out, and I was just wondering if there's any update to that.
All right. On the card not present, on the fraud issue, the AusPayNet has recently, brokered, helped introduce a new framework for dealing with to try to get down the card not present fraud, and my understanding is that merchants that are implementing all the requirements for card not present fraud in probably including two-factor authentication, et cetera, they probably are not liable for fraud. So that the incidents, if merchants are using best practice, the incidents is probably shifted back to the issuer, I suspect. On the NPP, the NPPA has published its roadmap in October, and has also responded to the recommendations of the Reserve Bank and ACCC on governance and access. And the bank and the ACCC have reviewed the responses of NPP Australia, and we are broadly happy with those. NPPA has made changes that will be a little bit more access friendly to smaller new participants. The roadmap is quite ambitious, so we are ACCC and RBA are broadly happy with that. But in the event that we became aware of any new concerns, we could obviously revisit the issue. But we've said in the report we released in June, that we would review this again in 2 years' time, if not before.
I'm a payments manager for an large e-commerce business. And in April this year, there was an interchange reset for e-commerce transactions. So we were slugged with an increase in interchange. My question is, and they weren't ready for scheme tokenization. So my question is, for future interchange resets, what work will the RBA do to ensure that the schemes are ready for this?
I'm not quite sure I understand the issue you're raising. The schemes typically are resetting their interchange schedules once a quarter, and that's either to ensure that they remain compliant with the Reserve Bank's benchmarks, or to respond to some commercial aspect, or perhaps to, if they want to incentivise sort of tokenisation of transactions, etc. The schemes sometimes don't give that much notice of changes. So I don't know if that's the issue that you're raising. But what I can say is that there are caps on the interchange fees that can be applied to any single transaction. So no credit card transaction can attract an interchange fee of more than 80 basis points. No debit card transaction can attract an interchange fee of more than 20 basis points or 15 cents. I certainly haven't heard of... I'm sure that the schemes aren't applying interchange fees above those caps, but if they were, or if you have any other concerns regarding interchange fees. We're happy to have a submission on them, or alternatively, if they are confidential issues, we're happy to have a conversation with you.
I'd like you all to join me in thanking Tony Richards. Thank you, Tony.